has been confirmed and you are the first caller to this conference. Please wait while others join.
Test. Test.
Good afternoon.
Hello, this is Patricio.
Hello, Patricio. How are you? Dennis Jennings here.
Oh, good morning, or afternoon for you, I guess.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very busy, I'm afraid. I'm finding it difficult to keep up with all the work.
Well, yeah, me too, I guess.
Hi, this is John at the Berkman Center. We are online and webcasting.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Dennis Jennings here.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just put the phone down so we still keep the webcast rolling.
Sure. I don't know about you, Patricio, but I'm between my my consulting work now for the university and my private work.
Mm-hmm.
And my business investments and the ICANN stuff. It's getting kind of a bit hectic.
Yeah, it's kind of busy for me too, actually. I just sent a message. I will have to leave about a quarter of an hour into the second hour of the conference.
Okay.
Anybody else joining?
Hello,
this is Hello, YJ, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Jennings here.
Uh-huh.
We have Patricio Poblete on the line with us.
Hi, YJ.
Hello?
Hello, Hiro Hotta is joining.
Hello, Hiro. How are you?
Fine. Hi. Okay.
Dennis Jennings here.
It's Jennings, yes. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. Kind of, busy. Trying to keep up with the mail. Somebody was saying on the mailing list that the board member should be able to cope with 1,000 mails a day. Well, then I'd have to give up. I can't.
That's Richard.
Well, that's marvelous if he can do it, but I couldn't do it.
You can just block them all and delete them.
Oh, well, that's true. Who says that?
Caroline.
No, Caroline. Hi, how are you, Caroline? Dennis Jennings.
Good.
Yeah. Block them all and delete them. That works. Leaves you with a sort of anxious feeling that maybe somebody actually said something important. But after a couple of days, that feeling goes away.
If it was important, he'll say it again.
Hi, everybody. This is Ted joining.
Hello,
hey,
Ted. How are you?
Hi, Ted.
Hi, everyone. This is Victoria.
Victoria, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Do you have snow up there yet?
Sorry?
Do you have snow up there yet?
Well, we had frost this morning.
Okay.
Oh, we had frost, too. That's easy stuff. We had frost in Ireland. I was very surprised. Came out and found the car window frosted over. But it's here it's a lovely time of year. Nice, crisp, cool, sunny. Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Here, too.
So who do we have on the call at the moment? We've Patricio. We've Hero.
Yes.
YJ. Caroline. Ted. And myself. Anybody else? Nope. Okay, well, we wait. No natural disasters around the world this day?
Not yet, anyways.
Yeah. Hello, someone joined us?
Yes, Elizabeth online. Good
Hello,
morning.
Hello, Elizabeth. How are you? Welcome.
I'm fine, thank you. I'm trying to survive to voting script.
Oh, yes. I voted. Did everybody else vote?
Yes.
I did.
Yes.
Yes, I got 9 votes, 1 abstention.
Hello, we've someone new coming.
This is Don Salaj.
Hello, Don. You're a million miles away. Can you afford a decent phone? Don?
Let's call money goodbye here, I'd say.
Oh, well, you're very faint. What have you done? Turn up the volume.
Completely up.
Hmm?
This is Richard Lindsay joining everybody.
Hello, Richard.
Richard.
Is that any better, Dennis?
A little better, Don, yeah.
God, I can't imagine what's the matter.
Well, you're probably feeling faint after that contract negotiation.
No. It's only a year long.
Yeah, I know. Good. So far we have Patricio Poblete, Don Talage, Hiro Hotta, YJ, Richard Lindsay, Caroline Coyne, Victoria Carrington, Ted Shapiro, Elizabeth, and we're with Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Someone just joined us.
Amadeo. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. Hi, Amadeo. How are you?
Hi. Morning.
Morning.
Afternoon.
Do we have a quorum?
We're near a quorum. I'd like to wait a little bit, Amadeo. There's myself and Patricio from the CCTLDs. Nobody from the business community yet. Don, Hirohata from the ISPs, YJ from non-commercial, yourself and Richard Lindsay from registrars, and full house of the IT people, wouldn't you know? Carrington, with Victoria Carrington, Caroline Chacoin, and Ted Shapiro.
Well, we're making up for the last two calls.
I didn't want to say that, Ted.
Ken will not be joining us, so he's given me his proxy. Ken will not list to the mail.
Okay, who's that? That's Richard.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Also, Raul said that he was unavailable for this call, probably.
Right. Did he give his proxy to anybody?
To Kathy, but Kathy is not on board, I think, yeah?
No, not yet. Well, so far we've managed to avoid really needing proxies for votes, but we will need them for next week.
Yep.
Okay.
That's in the agenda.
Let's go through the agenda. Just go through the agenda. I have the email in front of me that the list was very kindly provided. Item 1 is discussion and adoption of the agenda. Item 2, minutes and matters arising. Yeah. And,
hello?
Hello, yes?
Yes, I'm Raul.
Hey, Raul, how are you?
How are you?
Very good, very good.
Are you giving your proxy to yourself?
Hey, yes, but only for a few minutes. I'm in the airport.
Okay. Okay. Kathy hasn't joined us yet. Okay. Under matters arising, a couple of items. Schedule of meetings in LA and technical arrangements. It's item 3 on our schedule. Item 4 is the election of ICANN board members. Item 5 is the issue of meeting procedures. Item 6, the DNA for business plan and budget. And item 7, any other business. But I think we really need to discuss first the issue of proxies. Have I missed it on your agenda?
I got a message from Teresa, like probably many of you. She will be in late for 20 minutes, and she expected that proxy will be just after Los Angeles meeting arrangements.
Yeah, that's what it says on your agenda.
Does it? Oh, so it does. I missed it. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. Is that a reasonable agenda, everybody? Should we work with that for the moment?
Yeah, just one question. Is Jonathan Citrain on board?
Who?
No, Jonathan's not.
Jonathan Citrain.
Oh.
Okay. So not yet, yeah? Okay.
No. John from the Berkman Center was on the call briefly to set up the webcasting. I forgot John's second name. But no, Jonathan hasn't joined us yet.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So, can we adopt that agenda?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, seems reasonable. Minutes and matters arising. Elizabeth, thank you very much for the minutes of the last meeting. Is everybody happy that they're a reasonably accurate record of our meeting?
No objection.
No objection. I provided you with some comments, Elizabeth, on the previous minutes, which I'll deal with privately over the email.
Yes. May I add something, Dennis?
Yeah.
I have just general comment. Whatever comment or correction you have, please never hesitate to send it. I will incorporate it, of course, into results.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth, and thank you for providing all these notes.
Somebody joined at the telephone.
Yes, Michael Schneider, hello.
Hello, Michael, how are you? Welcome.
Fine, thank you.
Just recap then on for Michael's benefit, who we have on the conference call. We have Patricio Pablete, Don Talage, Hirohota, yourself, Michael, YJ, Raul Echeverria, Amadeo, Richard Lindsay, Caroline Chacoin, Ted Shapiro, Victoria Carrington, and Elizabeth Portineuve and myself.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, we adopted the agenda, and we're just now complimenting Elizabeth on the minutes. We've agreed that they're an accurate, a reasonably accurate, as far as we can tell, record of our meeting, and we're going on to matters arising.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for my part as well.
Okay. Now, the first item arising is liability insurance for Names Council members.
Oh, good.
And I pinged Mike Roberts on this question, and he replied, yes, Names Council members are covered by our, that is ICANN's, liability insurance, since you, that is the Names Council, are functioning as a committee in the legal sense. Now, just for those who need a bit of an explanation, because we're acting as a committee of a company and making decisions, we of course are legally liability if we are sued by anybody. And since in the United States, I believe that happens now and then, it's important that somebody provides us with insurance to cover these liabilities. And my understanding from Mike is that the ICANN insurance covers those liabilities. Now, exactly what the details are, I don't know, but at least we have the statement that we're covered.
May I come in at that point, please?
Yes, please.
Dennis? Michael, I would like to get some details on the liability insurance, particularly in terms and conditions. Maybe the reason is that I'm a lawyer, but on the other hand, I would like to be pretty sure that it, not only from the perspective of Mike Roberts, covers our liability, but that I feel comfortable with it as well. And therefore, I think they should provide us at least with a rough overview of what this liability insurance is about and the terms and conditions.
Dennis? Comments? Yes, we've asked.
This is Ted.
Ted, yeah.
Michael, I can respond, although I agree that we would probably want to see the copy, the provision that he's referring to. Generally, the insurance will cover us as long as we're acting within the scope of our duties.
Right. Yeah, I know what... How liability insurance is normally work in the U.S., but on the other hand, to some extent, it depends on the agreement itself between
the
and the specific terms and conditions. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Michael, I think that's reasonable. Anybody got a comment? YJ, you had a question on the email about this. Does that explanation satisfy you? Okay, good. Anybody else need more explanation? Okay.
No, perhaps the only thing we need is an action item in order to ask someone to contact Mike Roberts and get a copy of the insurance, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
A question about this, Patricia?
Yes.
In case we were sued, would this cover also our legal costs for our defense?
I presume so, Patricio, and I think that's what Michael is really asking. What is covered, and to what extent is it covered, and what is the scope, and so on.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, generally it would cover us as long as we're exercising our duties as main council members, but Michael is absolutely right that we should confirm what exactly the scope is.
Yeah, typically insurances like that are covering the legal costs on our side as well, but I think just speculating makes no sense. Let's have a review of the contract that has been signed by the board.
And Ted, do you have a clear definition of what our duties are?
make recommendations to the board regarding the NS policy.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty broad, but you never, as you suggested, you never know what can come up in the States, some kind of frivolous suit, and it's good to have a clear picture of what we're covered for as we go forward. As we start doing more and more things, we need to know. Michael is 100% right that we really should look into it.
I move that we ask Jeff Williams to sue the Names Council and our liability insurance.
Yeah, we can test it that way.
If you like, I'll follow up with Mike since I initiated the initial contact.
Okay.
Is that all right? Elizabeth, would you minute that?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Now,
let's work at Jeff Williams.
So I note Dennis will contact Mike Roberts.
That's right. Thank you. And I'll let you know. I'll copy you as well. All right.
Okay.
Also arising from minutes, election of the GA chair, information from Joe Sims. What have you in mind here, Elizabeth?
Joe sent us a message that the current idea of General Assembly to elect Administrative Committee and Chair of General Assembly is probably not quite good. And if we allow General Assembly to go forward, to move forward and to do what they intend to do, it will clash in the way. So we actually got one or two messages from Joe yesterday and today on that subject.
Yeah, I had I'm sorry, Dennis, this is Ted. I had raised a point when I saw that Nye was claiming that there was consensus and that this or that should be done. And I was just, this is just a question that comes up all the time. About what exactly General Assembly consensus is, and then, of course, the issue of once they determine that, what they can do with it.
Well, just to rehearse what Jill Sim said, in my view, quite correctly.
Right.
It is not covered in the bylaws in any way, shape, or form. And
yeah.
The Names Council appoints the General Assembly chair for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have deferred that as the Provisional Names Council, but it's something that we're going to have to sit down and address properly, I think, in Los Angeles. Secondly, Joe is also right pointing out that the General Assembly forming some consensus and then deciding to have an ADCOM is very much at variance with the bylaws, and I don't think he was very happy with it. Now, my comment is I'm deeply unhappy with it. This could be completely chaotic.
Right, I agree.
Amadeo?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't really commented. The problem is that there is a wide misunderstanding of what the General Assembly is in, you know, some of the most active participants in the mailing list. They tend to believe that General Assembly is just the rest of us, meaning those who are not the Names Council or the constituencies. Well, the General Assembly is not at all that. And perhaps we should make the effort to clarify first what's the role of the General Assembly as the place where all the DNSO, including Names Council and constituencies and working groups, meet, that it should be working through working groups or other kind of committees, and that perhaps not in this structure should wait before for A, the election of the Permanent Names Council, B, the election of the Permanent GA Chair, and C, if they really want an ADCOM or something like that, you know, to go through the constitutional way, that is, to change the bylaws, if they convince everybody that's needed.
Well, just to amplify that a bit, to make a proposal, to put together a working group, to come up with a discussion document or proposal for approval by the Names Council.
Something like that.
You know, the process, in other words.
Yeah. Patricio?
Yes, Patricio.
Yeah, actually, I think the problem is a bit broader. In Santiago, we witnessed the General Assembly that where people were making motions and passing resolutions. And afterwards, I was listening to ICANN staff that were commenting that it was no business of the General Assembly to be doing that. That we saw afterwards that those resolutions, they actually had no effect. They didn't have a way to become recommendations to the board, because it is the function of the Names Council to make recommendations to the board. So I think that needs to be clarified too.
Yeah. This comes back to the point that I was raising earlier about General Assembly consensus and what you do with it and how you get it.
Can we put that as an agenda item for later discussion? I don't think we should take our time right now on this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I not action discuss about General Assembly.
Yes, but I get the feeling from those who have spoken that Amadeo has summed it up correctly in my view, and I get the feeling no one disagrees. The General Assembly is where work is done and proposals are made to working committees, but they must come to the Names Council.
Yeah, the General Assembly is everybody. It's not us and them.
Correct.
Dennis, is Richard.
Yes, Richard.
I think one thing that's related to this is the fact that I don't think there's a whole lot published from Committee D about the actual procedure. So I think in absence of procedures that are written down and explaining how things work, then people are just winging it on their own, which is dangerous.
Sure. Also, the Names Council hasn't really got to the point where it has issues that it wants to pass to the General Assembly for discussion at work.
Exactly. I think also either we blow this into something that it turns into a major topic, or if we attempt to diffuse it as quickly as possible. And I just sent a message to the mailing list that I think what Nima was really meaning was he might need some help in determining the agenda and running the meeting itself. And we had suggested that perhaps setting up Names Council members as alternate chairs for such a long meeting. I think if maybe the ICANN board members that we elect from the Names Council were to fill that role, then there shouldn't be any problems with it. These should be people that we respect and understand.
Well, I think we need to discuss it. I think the bylaws are quite strict on that. But let's review it and see how we proceed. Anybody want to comment? YJ?
Oh, yeah.
Raul?
No. I agree with Amadeu.
Okay. And Hiro?
No comment.
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry, I think that YJ wanted to comment something.
I have
a question, because I think that YJ was one of those supporting the administrative committee. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually. No, actually, I was a little bit afraid, to say what I'm thinking about the General Assembly, because I guess I'm the only one who, right now, have a bit, different views from you people in this meeting. Actually, my view is, General Assembly, intentionally has kind of made to self-operate in this ICANN organization. So I kind of, wanted to get the General Assembly, within their instead of, our kind of executive committee role. Well, that's kind of my opinion, but I guess people on the line right now, seem to agree that, we need to control, General Assembly, in a soft way, which, Names Council wanted to see or something.
Well, YJ, I thank you for making that point, and never hesitate to shout at us. If we all seem to be saying the wrong thing, please shout, if that's your view. I think our concern is not so much to control the General Assembly, but to be careful that we don't have different organizations and different bodies. We would have, if this goes forward, we'd have a chair of the General Assembly, an ADCOM of the General Assembly, the Names Council, and some staff for the DNSO. How does this all work together? It would seem to me that we need to have a sensible structure so that things can work. And maybe there's a role for an ADCOM in the General Assembly in some structure.
Yeah, as long as it's representative as the Names Council of all of the constituencies and all of the people involved.
What's important, perhaps, regarding YJ is that what Jay comments to understand was the General Assembly, and it will not work if General Assembly is understood as those not sitting in the Names Council or the constituencies. This is not the General Assembly as, negotiated, defined, and agreed. One different thing, I would like moving that from October 15th, or 16th, when the elections to the name, to the board are completed, we make a call for nominations within the names, the General Assembly, for a permanent General Assembly chair until, sometime before Los Angeles. So we are in a position to have names to elect a General Assembly chair in Los Angeles.
That sounds like a good idea.
Because the bylaw says that the Names Council appoints, but indeed we are free to call for nominees, and I think we should do that.
Well, Elizabeth, would you note that, and we'll discuss this on the mailing list.
Yes. Thank you, Amadeo. Amadeo, I have a question. Are you saying then that Nee wouldn't chair
that meeting? In other words, we'd open it for nominations and...
No. He's already been appointed as chair of the Los Angeles meeting. But by the way, the permanent NEMS Council should elect a permanent General Assembly chair for 1 year period.
Oh, okay.
So we could elect me for that role. He has only been appointed for this concrete meeting.
Michael, a question, please.
I have a queue here now. Let me take names. Michael, who else?
Hi, this is Teresa. I just wanted to say I joined.
John Dutrain, I just joined as well.
Kathy Clement just joined office.
Hiya, Kathy.
Good morning.
And
hi, Kathy.
Hi. And was that John England just joined?
No, John Dutrain, Berkman Center.
Oh, I beg your pardon, John. Jonathan, how are you? Welcome. Okay, now we had a queue forming. Michael, you wanted to have a question?
I would like to make an observation. I think we need a strong link between General Assembly and the NEMS Council, and I would not at all support the idea of having the General Assembly elect a chair themselves, because I think that we'll need that this might lead us into some confusion, into some problems, if they elect a chair that is not capable of chairing the General Assembly at all. Therefore, I feel the format of the General Assembly should be a little bit comparable to the ICANN open meetings, where at least some members of the NEMS Council are sitting in front of the audience, and we have a chairman of the General Assembly appointed by the NEMS Council and made sure that he can conduct a meeting like that, that he doesn't call for consensus points that are not... Or where we are not able to reach consensus, or that, who is at least not interpreting consensus points in a way that consensus is noted where there was no consensus. I think that's a very important point that needs to be addressed. And I would like the NEMS Council to take at least some lead with regard to the chairmanship, rather than allowing the General Assembly to appoint a chair themselves.
Yes, Michael, I think that's what's intended. Amadeo, do you want to comment?
No, I think that's what was intended. I just said that we should ask for nominations, but it's clear in the bylaws that the NEMS Council appoint the chair. And if you ask my personal opinion, I think that the chair should be someone from the NEMS Council. Even this is not a popular view in the General Assembly mailing list.
I would support that, obviously.
Yes, Michael, yes?
I would strongly support that as someone from the NEMS Council, because that helps us to coordinate activities between the NEMS Council and the General Assembly, and that's what is needed. If we have additional meetings like the one in Santiago, where the General Assembly votes or makes suggestions, takes votes on issues that are clearly not in the scope of the General Assembly, I think that will only create confusion rather than any sensible decision. And therefore, I would suggest that we clearly indicate or clearly recommend that the NEMS Council suggests who the chair ought to be, and that it needs to be a member of the NEMS Council itself.
Okay. I think we have a number of items we will discuss in relation to the General Assembly. Let's put it on our email discussion.
Patricio was on the QA thing.
No, it was Raul.
Raul, sorry, Raul.
Yes, Raul, yes, please. Thank you, Amadeo. Raul?
I strongly believe that the General Assembly should have a more important role in the NSO, but I think that we have to go slowly in this topic to in order to get a good job from the General Assembly. I agree with Amadeo that actually the General Assembly seems the space where participate people that is not participating in the in no one constituency, neither in working groups. I believe that we have to work hard to improve the role of the General Assembly. In the specific point of the General Assembly chair, I think it's possible to call for nominations on the General Assembly, and probably after a round of straw votes in the General Assembly, the General Assembly could suggest to the name council two or three candidates, and the name council could decide who could be the General Assembly chair for the next year.
Okay, that's an interesting.
I don't know if you understand me.
No, I don't.
Yes.
I think that's a very interesting idea. Maybe you'd start the discussion with an email to the list to that effect, and we'll discuss it on the list.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're on item 3 on our agenda: schedule of meetings in LA and technical arrangements. First of all, the schedule of meetings. Is everybody happy with the schedule that came out? And I think, presume it's now published, Elizabeth, is it?
It was within minutes, so we may consider that it is okay.
It is done. Okay.
I will probably, I need to put it a little bit better, but maybe not. It is ICANN. It is up to ICANN to write it on ICANN site, I believe.
Absolutely, yes. And do you know if it's on the ICANN site yet?
I'm sorry?
Do you know, Elizabeth, whether it's up on the ICANN site, the agreed agenda, the agreed schedule?
I'm not sure. I am just trying to see.
Okay, but there's another issue, and that is the technical arrangements for the DNSO meetings. And I've just picked up an email from Andrew McLaughlin pointing out that it's likely, in his view, that the DNSO's fair share of the cost of webcasting will be $8,000.
Dennis, I have a question.
Yes.
In Andrew's mail, I understand that they are planning to also to webcast the constituency meetings. Is that correct? But we have many meetings in parallel. And due, for instance, to the we are having the meeting late in the afternoon in California. It's no sense for the registrars probably to webcast that, given the time zones.
Yes, probably. I don't see. I'm just quickly glancing at the email. I don't see where it says for 4 days of services. So there will be some webcasting on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, but my question is, what would be webcasted on Monday?
I don't have an answer, Amadeo. Does anybody else have an answer?
I read it to mean the constituency and the working groups.
Yeah. Again, that will be really difficult, though.
Very difficult. There are.
Yeah, imagine working group A that's meeting at 7 in the evening in California. What time is that in the rest of the world? It's not the best time to webcast that.
But it's not just that. It's, as you mentioned before, the fact that there are so many in parallel.
Yeah.
Is that Jonathan?
That's Ted, sorry.
Oh, Ted, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. I'm having difficulty distinguishing names this time.
Well, that's all right. We should shout out our names. I apologize.
If you wouldn't mind.
Just use a special accent, like me.
Who's that, Raul?
No, Caroline.
sorry, folks. All right.
This is Teresa. I have a suggestion with regards to the constituency meetings, that they're recorded and that the recordings are then made available. I think this is something that was tried in Santiago, but to webcast all the constituency meetings is going to be really, really difficult. It's the same with the working group meetings.
Yeah, registrars were pleased last time with just tape recording and then making the tape available.
You know, it's the same for the IPC. This is Ted.
Yeah, same for the Entourage with GTLD. It's patently overkill for us.
Well, indeed, and it would be, it would, John, wouldn't it?
Richard.
Yes, Richard.
I think webcasting would definitely be overkill, but I think we should try and allow the constituency groups to have remote participation in the form of dial-up, or for example, conference calls, because the point of our meetings are not to meet in person, but we should allow remote participation.
Yeah. Dennis, this is Ted. The IPC, for example, has regular conference calls.
Right. The CCTLDs would be 60, 70, 80 people there.
Yeah.
we tried to do that. It's almost
impossible, unless you get very, very formal with lots of microphones and so on, to have a conference call with a large meeting.
Yeah, I mean, that may be a decision for the constituencies themselves.
Yeah. Okay, well...
Yeah, but perhaps we should clarify with Andrew that the NIMS Council understands that on Monday, just recording facilities would be okay, while for Tuesday, the webcasting would be required.
Well, I think we should ask, first of all, yes, I agree with that, Amadou, and we should also ask what they intended for Monday.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
It may be, of course, that day is just a setup day. And that's how they get forwarded. Anyway, let's inquire. Elizabeth, could you find a moment to inquire?
Yes, I will do. I just noted I have to verify with Andrew if it is enough for Monday meetings just to record it, and we have to discuss if we webcast Tuesday meetings. It is correct?
No, I think that it's decided that we will webcast Tuesday.
So Tuesday is webcast, but Monday you just decided not.
Well, first question is, what did they intend when they said 4 days? And second question is, in our view, it's not going to be practical to webcast anything on the Monday because of the parallel meeting. Okay?
Okay.
Now, but let's come down to the crunch. The estimate is £8,000 for DNSO costs.
Dollars,
I beg your pardon. Well, the way the dollar was going, it may be not much different, but dollars, yeah. The only problem I have with that, and I think we should be willing to pay it and do it, but if I may give my view first, we actually don't have any money. We have a formal difficulty.
Yes, Dennis, this is an issue that we've already, it's been an issue for a long time, even prior to Santiago. We have to webcast and we have no money.
And the only way is constituencies bringing some money in the way they want.
Yeah. And the constituencies themselves are still, or at least speaking for the IPC, this is Ted, are still working on that issue also. So once they are starting to fund themselves, they will have to budget part of that money to go to the running of the NIMS Council.
Michael, if I may come in at that point, the problem for the ISPCP is that we did not intend to fund ourselves because we felt that at the point where we are, we do not need a funding since we do not need a secretariat or something like that. If we are expected, and I understand why we may be expected to fund the NIMS Council, but if we are expected to do so, that I think requires a change in our articles, and that cannot be done before, I think, Los Angeles. And even if we wanted to during our Los Angeles meeting, I think a draft has to be provided and discussed in the list as soon as possible.
The articles, I mean your own constituency articles?
Yeah, our own constituency sort of bylaws.
This is Don Talaj. I think it's very important, too, that we try and get an assessment of what we think the costs of the year are going to be, rather than dribs and drabs discussions. I think there's a reality shock experience here coming for a number of us. We find out how expensive this is likely to be in the next year.
Don, if I may, Dennis here, I think I circulated a very rough estimate of what the DNSO, what the NIMS Council Secretariat might cost. And I think it came up to $330,000 or something like that.
That's a significant amount of money for 19 people.
Well,
it's more for 7 constituencies than for 19 people. I think that most of the cost is probably rooms and webcasts. Is that correct?
Well, I think we're going to come on to this on our agenda now in a minute. But we have just the immediate problem in our agenda. We have, the DNSO business plan and budget comes on later on. But the immediate formal problem is we're asked to spend $8,000 that we don't have. And the formal response to this has to be, if we're to be responsible as NIMS Council members, just as if we were board members, do we collectively think that we have a reasonable possibility of collecting that money and therefore paying that debt?
Not in the near future.
Who's that?
I'm sorry, that was Ted. I don't see how we're going to get it together. I don't think the constituencies have gotten it together I think it's in the plan, it's in the works, except for, as Michael suggested with respect to his constituency, it's going to take even longer. But it's hard for us to say that we're going to have any money in the near future.
Amadeo,
then Caroline,
then Michael.
Well, you know, we also need teleconference bridges, things like that. And some people has been contributing the bridges and paying the cost of the teleconference, just thinking that one day we will have one budget. I think that we should take the same approach regarding this kind of webcasting costs. We have a duty here, and, you know, perhaps, I mean, we cannot simply say we need a change of the bylaws or we are not meeting next week. We should try to be more proactive and do something. And then, you know, spread that internally, solve that internally the way we can. But I would like seeing each constituency finding a way to bring some money to Santiago. Sorry, to Los Angeles.
Amadeo, thank you. Caroline?
I'm currently working on the IPC budget, and I sent an email, although I know Andrew's busy. I haven't gotten a response yet, you know, indicating that we need to know, have some sort of estimate based on the past costs of what kind of our share, what you would see our share being, or at least giving us some, even a ballpark, even if it's a conservative estimate, to so that we can plan a budget that, you know, we plan to get together by the end of this month. So, I mean, I guess I see it actually being conceivable that if we have at least some numbers, like Don has suggested, to guide us, because we know what our numbers are, but we don't necessarily know for the Names Council and for the DNSO meetings what that number will be. When we set memberships for January 1st, 2000, those membership fees will incorporate the money that flows through to the Names Council. So, I mean, I see it being available January 1st.
Right. Right. Michael? Actually, it was mentioned that it would take long, particularly for the ISPCP constituency, to provide funding to the Names Council. I think that's not correct. It will take some time to agree upon a regular funding and a regular budget for the constituency, since we have no one that can be done before Los Angeles. On the other hand, I think all of us could try to find some funding from one or more of their of the members of their constituencies, and it should be easy to come to an amount of, I think, $8,000 or $10,000, if that's what we need in short term. Second point is, if we really need to have an amount of money at the level of $330,000, I think that's a lot, given the fact that we are a small council. If that's really the case, I think then we should add a little bit more and provide secretarial services to the constituencies at the same time, because it, in my view, it makes no sense that each and every constituency has their own secretariat in addition to that, and has a significant amount of overhead that would not be necessary if we would have a central secretariat.
Okay. Who's next?
Patricio, sorry,
I missed your name. Sorry, Patricio, yes.
Yeah, one thing that's still unclear to me is whether we owe real money to ICANN for these expenses in Santiago, or whether that number that they sent was just something to give us an estimate of what it cost. Are we in debt to ICANN?
I believe we are, yes. I believe ICANN thinks we're in debt to ICANN by at least $8,000 from Santiago. And if you remember, in our last Names Council, if I remember correctly, we resolved that each of us would go and try and raise $5,000 from our constituencies to be paid within 30 days of the Los Angeles meeting. Elizabeth, am I correct in my memory?
Yes, exactly, Dennis. Thank you.
So that would be 7 constituencies times 5. That would be $35,000, which would get us over to the end of the year anyway. And we already resolved that.
Dennis.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Kathy would like to be added to the list also.
Kathy and then YJ. I think I heard YJ's voice there. Kathy, then YJ. Okay, Patricia.
The non-commercials.
Yes.
Patricia, would you wanted to come in?
No.
Okay, Kathy?
In terms of the $5,000, I thought we ended the conference call last time with an objection from me that not every constituency thought they could raise that amount of money.
Oh, we did.
Also, I wanted to ask about the $8,000. Is that, for those people who have done webcasting, is the $8,000 that we're being asked for in Los Angeles, does that sound like an accurate figure, or is that also including recovery from Santiago? Is that reimbursement also for some equipment? Does anyone have a sense of what that money really is?
Well, Andrew McLaughlin's email says the total expected cost for 4 days of services is approximately $27,000. Includes labor, setup, broadcast, and strike, equipment, network connectivity, software licenses, travel, etc. The DNSO will account for at least 40% of the total anticipated broadcast airtime. And then he goes on later to say that it seems to me that DNSO's fair share of the total cost is at least $8,000.
That's just for LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we owe much more money from the previous teleconference. Okay.
Yeah. Michael, would you put me on the list, please?
Okay. Yes, Michael. YJ, I think you wanted to come in.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I would like to come in on some kind of, like, adapting sliding scale system. Like, when we think of a landscape of finding to attribution, Michael, from each constituency. Yeah, that sounds a lot appropriate, like the non-commissioned constituency.
Okay, YJ, can we leave aside for the moment the discussion of how we raise the money? Really, I'm on the formal point that we are now asked to make a decision, and I want us to make the decision with clear knowledge of the decision that we're making as the Names Council.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll come back to you, YJ. I won't forget that point. Okay, somebody's chatting in the background there. Who's that?
Raul.
Raul. Do you want to come in? No. Michael?
Yes.
Michael, please.
No, Dennis.
Yes?
No, yes. I believe that I'm in agreement with the last email about this issue from YJ. No, I would like to put money in different quantities from different constituencies.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Michael Schneider?
Yes. Thank you. I think at some point in time, we should discuss a little bit our relationship to the ICANN board. Because although I understand that $27,000 is not too much for the overall cost of the Santiago meeting, and 8,000 is not sort of the too high share for the DNSO. I think things like that should be discussed between the Names Council and the ICANN board in advance, and I think they should not impose a decision like that subsequently on the DNSO. And I think there are some other issues where I still see that the ICANN board is not aware of the fact what the relationship to the Names Council ought to be. I just want to mention the NSI contracts here. I think we should have been involved in advance. I think we should put that issue on the agenda for one of the next telecoms, I think.
Okay. I think that's a reasonable request. Elizabeth, would you note that? The relationship with between the Names Council and ICANN is requested by Michael as an agenda item on a future meeting or conference.
I would like, Elizabeth, to note 2 points here. That means funding and decisions such as the agreements certainly reached between NSI and the ICANN board that should be mentioned in the minutes.
Thank you, Michael. I noted.
Thank you.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we really have to make a decision, because if we can't make a decision that it's reasonable to commit to spend $8,000 in Los Angeles, then we can't have the webcasting. And on the other hand, as Amadeo says, we have an obligation to have the webcasting. So, you know, we need to make a decision here.
I suggest we agree on that issue. And we don't waste any more time to that, because I think there is, in fact, no alternative, currently.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even no surprise, as a matter of fact. The way is surprising, but the fact is not a surprise at all.
Right.
So I support Michael's here.
Okay. Well, then if we're making the decision, then we are making also the commitment to find the $8,000 between us.
Of course.
Yeah, okay. This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem making the commitment, but I think each constituency is going to have to make a real effort to contribute to this. You know, there's a lot of the costs and things have been carried by various groupings, and I think we really need to try to distribute this since it's for the overall benefit of the DNSO. So, as Amadeo pointed out, this is not a new issue. I mean, the cost issue came up in Santiago. It's coming up again now. It's not a surprise. With regards to the business constituency, until we have our permanent elections, which should be completed on Thursday evening, I believe, it's difficult for me to do anything concrete at this point except circulate a notice that says we need to look at the cost for LA. But it does go to the issue that Michael had raised earlier that, you know, business constituency has a secretariat, CCTLD has a secretariat, I believe. Maybe we need to look at sort of some overall consolidation issues of secretariat services as well, because it's going to be hard to go back to the constituency and request funds for various services to do it more efficiently.
Okay. All right. Well, then we're resolved, and we will have the webcast. We'll make the commitment to $5,000 to $8,000, and we'll have to work out how to do it subsequently. All right. Item 4 on our agenda. Election of ICANN board members. And the first item here is proxy voting. Anybody want to take up the discussion?
Well, seeing the comments that Amadeo, I think there's general agreement on the basics, even if we have not even discussed the procedures for proxy. Now we just have a mail or someone leaving a call saying, I give my proxy to. So we want this kind of informal proxies? I would say yes.
Anybody want to comment?
But, sorry, Dennis, perhaps before that, we should just recap and to see whether we agree on the basics, because perhaps not everybody remembers.
Thank you, good point. Would you like to do that?
Yes, well, the first thing is whether we accept proxies or not, I would say, and my feeling is that there's general agreement that, yes, we need a proxy mechanism in general. The second one is whether proxies should be given to people, for regular meetings, proxies should be given to people within the Names Council, typically to another representative of the same constituency, but not necessarily, or that we want to give proxies to external people. And here, the only people that have expressed the view are Dennis and myself, expressing a preference for, let's call that internal proxies, that is, giving proxies to other current Names Council members instead of external ones. And the special issue was the issue of proxies during Names Council, board elections, where no such proxy would be in place, but let's say an interim substitution. So it's a different question that should be dealt perhaps separately. I don't know whether this was, you know, a fair summary of what has been discussed.
I think that was a very fair summary, Amadeo, and it divides then into three questions, which I think we can take one at a time. First of all, should we have proxies, yes or no?
Yes.
Everybody is.
Okay.
I have not a clear yet. I would like to indicate, Michael, I would like to indicate that it should depend on whether, what decision we are talking about. I think with regards to decisions on personnel, I would like to have no proxies or a proxy that is clearly bound, meaning that the person not available clearly indicates in favor of whom his proxy should vote, because otherwise we are in danger of taking of one member of the Names Council or a couple of members taking over for all the constituencies and making a decision on specific personnel themselves. I'm a little bit cautious here.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, I agree with that. I'll come back on that. The second question is whether the proxies should be only for internal Names Council members, or whether external people not on the Names Council should be allowed to be given the proxy by a Names Council member. I think Amadeo and I said we much favored having only internal names council proxies. Any comment?
Raul.
Caroline.
I vote for the option. The proxy could be from the name council or external to the name council, depending on the decision of each constituency.
Okay. Yes, Ted.
Well, first of all, Caroline, then Ted.
In light of Michael's comment, I just want to be sure I understand then. We're talking about proxies for board election voting, or are we talking about proxies in general?
Proxies in general at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Was that Caroline?
Yes.
Okay, Kathy, Ted, you were next, I think.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that I wouldn't be opposed to external proxies because I would feel comfortable, for instance, if it was somebody else from my constituency that was standing in for me. I'm supposed to be representing that constituency, so if we decide that someone else can stand in for me in a particular meeting, I don't see a problem.
Okay, Kathy?
Kathy, I'll agree with the last speaker. In our constituency, we have an administrative committee, and the administrative committee would like to be the ones to appoint whoever would be the proxy. So it could be someone on the names council as a matter of convenience if they're already going to be on a call, for example, if there's a discussion. But specifically for the voting, we were interested in making sure that that the votes were probably would be assigned to someone from the same region. So it would be an external proxy going, if a names council representative, say, from North America couldn't make it, going to someone else in the constituency from North America. So we wanted to keep the geographic representation that way.
Dennis, Don.
Don, yeah.
Michael.
Michael. Don first, then Michael.
Yeah, in the case of restricting it to only members of the name council, obviously my constituency is...
It's a plot designed to get you, Don.
Well, but yeah. If we go from...
I accept your proxy, Don.
Would you accept the bill that goes with it?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Okay, it obviously puts us at a tremendous disadvantage for some period of time.
That's fine, yes, good point. Michael?
Although I'm in favor of restricting it to members of the names council, I would like to add that we should allow representation or proxies taken from other officers of the constituency. I think it should not be any member. That's too dangerous, I think. But if we allow for representation of the constituency by officers or representatives from an administrative board or whatever each constituency has setting forth, I think that would be the appropriate way to do it.
Amadeo,
yes.
I just want to echo what Michael has said here. I still strongly favor giving proxy within the Names Council, even if I understand Don's special situation. In special situations deserve special solutions, but I would oppose giving that to any member as such, because proxies are devised to help the Names Council to work, and this kind of mechanism would simply harm the efficiency with which the Names Council would work. The more diverse, the less often people are getting the Names Council, the more difficult it gets to work within teleconference especially. And I would like also making the proxy system a little bit difficult. I would not have a system that encourages people to give proxy. We need to encourage Names Council member to abide to their duties and call into the teleconferences.
So Amadeo, so you've really got two different types of situations. One is proxy for general discussion, and the other is proxy for voting, where your reasoning that you just gave might not apply so well to the voting if there's clear instruction from the constituency what they need on the voting side.
Yeah, I think, Kathy, you're right, that there is, the discussion is indicating that there are different types of proxies and different types of situations. And maybe we need a more substantial discussion on this to tease this out. But the thing that is directly in front of us is proxies for the election. And I think we need to make a decision on that today, and we can have a discussion on proxies in general later on. Would people be happy with that?
Yes.
Yes. Sure.
Okay. So let's now address the proxies for the election. there are two cases, one where a names council, I suppose there are many cases, a names council member, for some reason, like they're on an airplane and have to fly somewhere, simply can't make one of the election conferences and leave a substitute at short notice. Second case might be where a names council member knows fairly well in advance that they're not going to be able to participate and a proxy needs to be allocated in a more structured way. And third, the situation that comes to my mind is if somebody is has accepted a nomination and therefore can't vote, and there needs to be an external person appointed in some structured fashion. Does that summarize at least some of the cases?
Yes.
So let's take the casual one, first of all. I drank too much last night and I'm feeling hungover and I need someone to take the phone call for me for the election. How should that be handled? I mean, not the fact that I'm drunk, but the fact that I need to have, in an ad hoc way, a substitute. Should that just be fairly casual? I ask one of the other constituency names council members to stand in for me. Is that the sort of approach people would be happy with?
Yeah, Dennis, this is Ted. I guess the concern is that, no constituency wants to be disenfranchised, and particularly you give the example of all of a sudden finding yourself having to get on a plane. Surely the constituency would not be happy if something came up like that and they lost a vote.
Agreed, and therefore we need some ad hoc and quick wave to cover those situations.
Yeah, Amadeo here.
Yes, Amadeo, please.
Most probably there will be some internal discussions. I mean, this is not a requirement, but we will all expect some kind of discussions in the constituencies about who they are supporting or not, or the profile they are supporting. But certainly there will be discussions among the names council representatives for each constituency to see which candidates better fit their views, interests, or sexual preferences. In that case, just putting someone from the constituency at the last minute there, I think it's a bad situation, and just giving the proxy to one of the other names council representatives seems to, help the work, especially in this somehow difficult electoral process we have in front of us.
Caroline,
yes.
Teresa, can you put me in the queue?
Teresa,
I'm wondering from Elizabeth's point of view, whether that, again, we don't know if, 10 of us are going to be asking for proxies or just one of us, but if there are more than just a few, does that present a problem for you just in terms of, getting the proper emails, setting up the vote boxes and things like that? I mean, I would hate for that to get complex or for something to be lost, but if it's technically not a problem, then.
Good question, Caroline. Teresa, Elizabeth, would you like to come in straight away on that?
Yes. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Caroline. I set up the voting system in such a way that I can include for a new arriving ballot a proxy. However, if proxy is given to somebody from outside names council, I need to know his email in advance. I need to know if this email is working. If the email is working, I have a problem with my phone, I guess.
Yeah. The email is working, the phone is not.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Elizabeth, so, could you dial in again? You've got a terrible echo.
I will do. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Seems okay now.
It's better.
Oh,
yes, it suddenly went. Teresa, you wanted to come in then?
Yeah, actually, I would need Elizabeth for some clarification when she hops back on. I have a very concrete example. We'll be on a plane at least one of the days next week and not be able to vote. What I'd like to suggest, and I feel comfortable with this, is that people who know that they're going to be needing a proxy check with their constituencies and identify one person, whether that person is on a names council or whether they're somebody that the constituency is comfortable with having as a proxy. And that way, during this voting procedure, we know who the proxy is for the people who needed them, and the constituencies know. That would also respond to any emergency situations, such as the one you identified, Dennis, where one just can't make the call or something. I think that's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's a reasonable solution. Check with the constituency, see whether it's a named council person who takes the proxy or not, and then provide Elizabeth with the name of the person and which days there's going to be a proxy vote.
It's very reasonable, Teresa. Kathy?
That makes a lot of sense to me. And then we should add a provision maybe for some kind of emergency voting as well. And if there's a last-minute emergency vote, maybe that should go to the other names council people. But if there's something designated ahead of time, then that could be an external proxy. I think Teresa makes a lot of sense.
I mean, the problem is I know we have those two-hour conference calls scheduled, and I'll be sending out this. I'll be giving Elizabeth a bridge number for those. All it'll be the same number, the 5 days in a row. But the question I have is, I know that we can vote by email, or if we don't have access to email that day, we can call her. But is it within that two-hour time frame? I mean, that's another issue that maybe needs to be clarified. Or is it the entire two-hour time frame? And this may be something where I just haven't quite caught on to the entire procedure yet, because it is pretty complex. But I can't imagine that, you know, we'd be spending 2 hours every single day on the phone.
Yeah, it's unlikely, but it could happen.
Okay.
I think that with the current somehow limited slate of candidates, and I don't expect 20 of them coming in the last 3 days, we will need much less than the 5 days. And some of the elections will probably last just 1.5 hours or something like that. Because in probably 3 rounds, the election will be done. And you will never need more than 30 minutes for running each round. But, you know, when we prepared that with Elizabeth, we just prepared the worst-case scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question, Dennis. Proxies. In our legal tradition, we have two kind of proxies, what we call blank proxies or fill proxies. That is, when you give a proxy, you simply say, Donald Duck is taking the place of Amadeo Abril in that vote, or I am supposed to tell Donald Duck, which is, you know, the candidate that he's supposed to vote for in that slot, in that round. Because this could cause problems later on, yeah?
Well, I think from the names council perspective, the type of proxy that's given is a matter for the names council member, whether it's a specific one, here is the way I want you to vote unless in the next round, or you have my general permission. I think that is a matter for the names council member, I think.
I would say, well, so somehow, I agree.
Oh dear, we have an echo again.
Hello.
The echo is not there anymore.
Hello. Okay, there seems to be an echo involved. Elizabeth, are you back?
Yes, I am back.
Excuse me.
Yes, who's that?
Excuse me, everybody. Dennis, I'm Raul.
That's
I have to leave the teleconference because I lost my flight.
Oh dear, you missed your flight.
Just start walking, Brazil is not that far.
Oh dear.
Speaking about proxies, accept please my proxy to Kathy.
Good luck, Rob.
One of a proxy.
Okay. I like Teresa's suggestion. I think was it Teresa? Yes, that each constituency nominates in advance a potential proxy person who is known then to Elizabeth and whose email address is known, who can be called in if there is an emergency to carry the vote.
Yeah. Well, while I prefer Kathy's solution, if you know in advance, you do that for emergencies. just sticking to names, council, other representatives is better. Except for Don Tavares, yeah. We should anyway send, prepare a proxy.
If I might, Dennis, may I modify that and say that perhaps each named council representative, if the constituency wants, again, with the idea of preserving geographic diversity, can designate someone who will be on the call if he or she's not there. That way, if I designate someone, I can make a local call, fill them in on what's going on, where the matter stands, and we can move forward from there.
Now,
it sounds a little confusing, but...
Well, that means that there would be potentially 19 named proxies.
We are making, you know, missing the phone calls too easy. That's my fear.
Dennis, could I ask you a question? This is Ted.
Yes, Ted, please.
Just perhaps if Elizabeth could clarify a little bit about how this was going to work. I guess I was unclear. I didn't realize that we're going to have to be on the phone every day during, was it a 7-day period?
Five.
I thought it was from the
9th
to the 18th or something.
No. It was 5 days at worst. So the first day you're there until you elect the first candidate, the first director. If it's not over, you start again on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, you start with the second director. If in, let's say, 2 hours, the names council is not done, you go on Thursday. And on Friday, you do finally the last director. That's supposed to be the shortest because you have already eliminated two regions and many candidates.
Okay, so the first day...
Most probably, at least two of the elections will be only during one day. And the worst case is the first one because we all need to learn the mechanism, so we will spend more time.
Right, and the first day is next Monday.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was looking on the site and it says that the vote starts on the 9th.
No, the preliminary round, but this is through email only during the weekend.
Okay.
So let's call the polling round, but it's only done through email.
Okay, I mean, I've been trying to read all this. It's getting a little bit complicated, and we're making it more complicated trying to figure out how to proxy it.
Yes, that's my concern.
This is Teresa. I have to agree with that. I mean, I understood that we just submit our vote. And that's basically it, and that's during a 2-hour period, or that we email it. Maybe Elizabeth can just give a summary to make it clear, like what physically we need to do. I don't mean to sound naive on this, or I'll talk to her separately offline then.
No, I think it would be, Teresa, this is Ted, I think it would be helpful for all of us, because if there's a possibility that we're all going to have to be on the phone every day for 2 hours, we're going to run into major proxy headaches because we all have lots of different scheduling things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be in Europe next week, and I can juggle my meetings around this. That's not too much of a problem except for the day I'm traveling back on. So,
are you going to come to me?
Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I see many difficulties if I will have to enter into my system many different emails changing over time.
Yeah.
The system was foreseen to allow it, but I did not expect it more than, well, say, one or two. And 19 alternates sounds really complicated. It will simply slow down because I need to enter it into system. So you will have to wait until it is done.
Yeah.
I figure out that for very busy people, the possibility to call me on another phone number and simply tell me which is your choice will be helpful.
Yeah.
Well, we need to find out a compromise. Proxy are definitely necessary, I believe, but not 19 alternates.
This is Kelly. I withdraw the recommendation.
This is Teresa. Is there a way that we could try to find a compromise where it's not a 2-hour slot? Some technical, whatever physical means or whatever it is. Because it's really the two-hour slots that I think are starting to lead to problems for people, and that's why we need proxies.
Theresa, I think that... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Now, I have a whole lot of voices here. Can I cue them up, please? Who's calling now? Amadeo?
Yeah.
Who's the...
Theresa. Oh, go ahead.
Who else is looking to come in?
Richard.
Richard.
Theresa.
Okay, Amadeo?
The problem with the 2 hours, I repeat, is this is the maximum time you will be there. Perhaps you are done in less than that. But imagine that first we start the first teleconference, and you have, let's say, 12 or 13 candidates. You do the first round, you send an email to Elizabeth, right? If you are in an airport or you don't have a separate line for sending emails, you hang up and you call Elizabeth. Elizabeth needs to receive, let's say, 16 emails and 3 phone calls, draw the list, and send that back to the list. So you just call the teleconference and you know the results if you are in an airport, right? Then, with those results, you eliminate some members and you go for a second round. And this until the time you got someone elected. I really believe that in less than 2 hours you will be done, but not the first day, because we will need to learn how it works. In the worst case scenario, we plan for Tuesday, but I really think we don't need that. If we only work through email, it's impossible, because until the 19th email gets to Elizabeth, when your plane arrives, I don't know where, we cannot go for the next round, not for the next election, for the next round in the same election. So we need a combination of email and phone calls, and especially we need everybody being available in a teleconference or before a computer. It doesn't matter, but available at the same time. If not, multiple rounds will never work.
That's right.
Yeah.
So may I make a suggestion? I'd like to suggest that each constituency agree among themselves for one external person who can act as proxy if necessary, and otherwise the proxies be passed from one Names Council member to another constituency Names Council member to cover emergencies. I know it's not a perfect solution, but at least it minimizes the amount of work that Elizabeth would have to do, and it does mean that there people can call on a pre-agreed external, non-Names Council member proxy, if that's appropriate.
However, I would like to play one major change that would be that it doesn't need to be another Names Council member of the same constituency rather than another Names Council member, period.
Sure.
For example, if all the three Names Council members by incident are not available from one constituency, I think they should be able to provide a proxy to Amadeo Abril, for example.
If they wish, yes. Of course.
Yes, if they wish.
Yes.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Patricio.
Patricio, yes, Patricio.
Yeah, I was wondering that at times it may be a bit complicated to even to communicate from the person who given the proxy to the one receiving the proxy if it turns out not to be convenient at the time. I was wondering if it would be possible for the system to accept the vote from an alternate person and ignore it in case the vote from the actual council member arrives. Would that make sense?
This will delay things a lot.
Patricio.
But you may have a deadline for the round. You don't have to wait until everybody comes. Somebody may never vote.
Yes, I think that perhaps I could...
May I add something?
Yes, please, Elizabeth, yes.
I set up a system in which I am sending to whoever votes, either Names Council member or somebody, an alternate, but I am sending only 19 ballots, 19 personalized ballots, not 38, and I cannot deal with the situation. I will receive two answers for one voting person. It is too complicated.
Yes. Then this is Richard.
Yes, Richard.
I think it might be helpful to take a quick poll and maybe see how many people might have trouble attending all the meetings. And I'll start off. I will be attending all the meetings, and I'll be able to send mail during those 2 hours next week for the entire 5 days.
Right. Okay. Let's go take a poll. I'll start with myself. I'm available at this time for all 5 days. Patricio?
Me too, although I'm sure to be available for the first hour. Later it may be a problem, so it would be better if the meetings were 1 hour long.
Okay. Teresa?
I'll be able to make the first hour definitely on Monday. I can be available on mail during the second hour, and I will not be available for one of the days for sure next week, probably Thursday.
Okay, Don?
My biggest problem would be Wednesday afternoon. I have some difficulties, and Thursday I'm on a jet flying back to the airport.
Okay. Hero?
Yes, I will be available for all 5 days, but I may not be permanent NC member.
Okay,
it will be known within 24 hours.
This is true, but that's actually my case as well. So.
And then we have to explain all this to new names.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think that incumbent names council members should take the responsibility to, you know, do the learning, the teaching, sorry.
I agree.
Michael?
Well, depends. I think we're talking about 3 p.m. Central European time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I will be available at least over email on Monday. I will be available on Tuesday. Wednesday depends. Either Wednesday or Thursday, I have to make a presentation during Telecom 99 in Geneva, so I won't be available either one or the other day. I will be in Brussels for the European Commission POP meeting on Friday. That means I might be available over email, but I won't guarantee that currently.
Okay. YJ? Hello, YJ? I think we've lost YJ. Raoul?
He's chasing a plane.
Probably. Kathy? Yes, of course it's stupid, Kathy.
This is part of the problem where constituencies only have one representative. I should just add that I warned everybody about this, that convention-style voting was immensely time-consuming. And I do not know exactly what my schedule is for next week, but I will not be available for all of the time because we've got comments due on the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy next week. And so a number of other things are going on. I did want to ask a question. Does the process that we've set up require people to be both on the telephone and on the computer at the same time? Because if so, I have a problem.
You can simply read the emails, and if you don't want to convey your opinions on the teleconference, you will be able to receive the ballots by email and send the votes by email.
Okay, so the discussion will be taking place only on the telephone. This is a question.
I proposed a chat, but not everybody seemed to be, you know, familiar with this medium.
Well, my concern is that more than the ballots will be coming across electronically. If I have to monitor two mediums at the same time, I won't be able to do it.
Yeah, but the problem is that, as we remember, there are very short deadlines.
I understand.
Yeah.
So, again, I'd like to raise the issue and maybe we can decide it. Are we going to have discussion both online and on telephone? If so, some of us will have a problem.
Kathy, this is Richard. If you just want to vote and not have to hear the results of each round, then you can participate just by email, I believe.
But she's going to need to know the results in order to make her next vote, no?
Well, the results of the rounds will be obvious by the next ballot, right?
Exactly.
No, not the next hour, the next minutes probably. And I understand from Elizabeth that she will simply send that to the list, let's say. But also, this will be read on the teleconference because some people would be probably near a telephone in an airport, but without email. So we need both.
I think we need both.
It's redundant.
Okay, thanks. My question's been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Amadeo, your availability?
Oh, I would be available, but I'm not sure I will be a NEMS Council member, and I'm not sure even if I'm a NEMS Council member, I will be allowed to participate because perhaps I accept the nomination. So, who fingers.
You make it easy for us, Amadeo.
Yeah.
Richard?
I will be available, or I will try to find someone that's available.
Okay, thank you. Richard?
Yes, I will be available.
Caroline?
I'll be available.
Victoria?
I will be available.
Ted?
I will be available at least the first three days. It's going to get trickier towards the end of the week, but maybe we'll be done.
Well, it's clear from the conversation that we need to get this down to be fairly efficient. And Elizabeth, perhaps you and I could have a discussion either after this telephone conference or later, just to role play a little bit and see whether we can make it efficient, or you could work with somebody else. I don't mind. But it seems to me that we need to get it down to sort of 10-minute intervals per round of voting.
I believe we need it. I believe, and I agree completely with you, Dennis. I will send a ballot. It depends always on the queue, mailing queue at every site. When you get it, it may take a few seconds. It may take 3 minutes. So then I will wait probably 10 minutes to get back messages by email, and if somebody is unhappy and if I see in logs that there is no connection, I will tell to that person on phone, please tell me your vote by phone.
Right.
And request somebody to call me on another line, not to make it public.
So be prepared also to play a little bit with this system during the weekend, especially because there will be new names council members. And Elizabeth, are you sure you have all the relevant phones from every and each names council member?
I got phone numbers from almost everybody except Catherine Kleinman.
Oh, can I give it to you now? I'll give it to you by email.
Okay.
I'm sorry to ask again. The first day is the 11th. What is happening over the weekend? That's just the ballot is being sent first time?
This is the first ballot. This is the poll.
That occurs on the Saturday or the Sunday?
That starts on the Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
And
we don't have to be on a phone call until Monday.
No, we don't
exactly.
I'm sorry, I've been reading all this stuff, but I just wanted to make sure.
It would actually, I've been thinking about this, it would be very convenient if we could have the results of the poll a few hours before we get into the voting round, so that we have time to chat about it if we want to.
It is up to you. I will send ballot on Saturday, 6 p.m. Central European Time, or whichever hour you decide. It is really up to us to decide. And whatever hour you decide on Monday, you will have result at that time.
Dennis, this is Richard. I have one question for Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have an IRC server we can use? Because if so, I can listen to the phone conference and be in IRC and do three at the same time, and maybe pass on some information from those that cannot participate on the phone and on the email.
No, Richard. I'm sorry. I really didn't have any hour left since many months. I'm sorry.
Maybe
Richard, if you think this is necessary, I could provide this IRC channel.
Okay, because I might be able to do the same. But if you have one ready that everyone can use, that might be, I think, beneficial.
Okay.
All right.
Patricio?
Yes, Patricio. Yes, please.
Oh no, I just wanted to say goodbye to everyone. I have to leave the call now. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget Monday. Okay. Let's get back to the decision, because we have to decide on the proxy voting. And the suggestion, as far as I can remember now from the discussion, the suggestion is that we have two mechanisms of proxy. One that a constituency can name a fourth, or in the GTLD's case, a second person who is known and named and has an email address and can be called in as a proxy. And the second mechanism is more ad hoc, passing of the proxy from one names council member to another names council member, and presumably informing Elizabeth and us by email or on the telephone conference.
Yes, and on top of that, each NIMS council member is encouraged to tell from now to Elizabeth their expected schedule.
Yes.
So she can prepare in advance.
Yeah. I'm sorry, their what?
Their schedule.
Oh, the expected schedule, yeah. So when you will be missing, if you already know.
Right, sorry.
Is everybody happy with that? Just to be clear, that each constituency can have a fourth name who is an available proxy, who can be called in by notifying Elizabeth, by one names council member notifying Elizabeth.
I only have a question regarding what Theresa said before. You mean each constituency appoints one, or each member who won't be there appoints one? Probably it's the constituency, right, you mean? Sorry, Dennis?
I mean the constituency, yes.
Thanks.
I mean the constituency.
Caroline, I would just remind people that I think we're required for geographic diversity, so whoever you pick needs to be from.
It's very difficult, though, Caroline, because we're picking one, and there are three different regions in general represented. So.
Okay, I'm just saying that Andrew McLaughlin...
Caroline, in that case, the one given the proxy is strongly encouraged to instruct the proxy holder,
yes,
what he or she is expected to vote for,
exactly,
as a proxy holder.
Yeah, but this is Andrew. I actually joined the call a little while back, belatedly, but if I can just clarify, the rule I think ought to be that the person who is not voting ought to instruct the proxy holder, in which case I don't have particularly any concerns about geographic diversity.
Yeah, and this will be, you know, known afterwards, yeah? So each one sticks to its own responsibility.
Sure, okay, I misunderstood Andrew's email, sorry.
I think I hadn't taken into account the situation that you all have decided on, which is to have a single alternate, and for the reason that Dennis just suggested, that's very difficult to square with absolute geographic diversity, and so I think as long as it's understood that the duly elected Names Council member is the one giving the instructions, then it's okay to have a different human being actually cast the ballot.
Right. So there are two mechanisms of proxy that we seem to be zoning in on. One, a Names Council member can nominate another Names Council member as a proxy for a period, and either give them carte blanche or instruct them. But that has to be done formally to Elizabeth, and we have to be notified by email so we know. And the second mechanism is that a Names Council member can use the fourth, the alternate, and instruct them. But in this case, they must instruct them.
Dennis?
Yes, please.
I need clarification. What do you mean that Elizabeth should know in advance about alternate? What do you mean in advance?
Well,
like Monday morning.
Well, no. Supposing that, I'm going to be on a, I am called away for some urgent meeting. Before I go, I have to both give my proxy to, say, Patricio, and I have to send an email to Elizabeth saying I can't make the 2 o'clock names the telephone conference. I've given Patricio my proxy.
Dennis, I do not have the problem with this situation because I know both email addresses. I know that you are both from the same constituency. My question was about alternates.
Okay, well, the alternates need to be set up before the whole voting starts, if they're to exist. In other words, you need to know them before Saturday.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. It was the real question.
Yes. If people are going to use an alternate for their constituency, whom they might instruct to have a proxy, then that person has to be known to Elizabeth before close of business European time this Friday, because otherwise it's unworkable for Elizabeth.
Yes, thank you very much.
Is that clear to everybody?
No, this Friday. Known this Friday or this Saturday?
Friday,
I'm afraid.
Okay, and then just for clarification purposes, if we decide just to hand our proxy to another Names Council person, then we would just let Elizabeth know that as well.
Yes, please. Yes. Because Elizabeth, we want to be careful here that we that we cover the bases so that we don't become very confused. Elizabeth doesn't be very confused, and the record become very confused as to what the hell went on.
Personal comment, if you can manage to just give the proxy to a fellow Names Council member, this will help a lot.
Yes, that's the solution for everything.
Okay, can I move on from the proxy situation? I'll attempt to put an email together tonight which tries to summarize this to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, we might email one another to see whether we've got a correct understanding that we can send out.
I would appreciate it, Dennis. Thank you.
Okay. Yes? Who's that?
I was just wishing you luck on that particular task.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you. Okay, that's item 4 on our agenda. Item 5, meeting procedures, Berkman Center cooperation proposal with participation of Jonathan Dutrain. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here, still awake.
Still awake. Still alive.
Dennis.
Sorry, somebody was calling me.
Dennis, it's Victoria. I just have 3 quick questions about the voting.
Sure.
Could I just ask them? It should require like a yes or no answer from whoever knows the answer.
Okay.
For the preliminary voting on the weekend.
Yes.
Does everybody have to use all 3 of their votes?
No. So up to 3.
Up to 3.
And for different candidates.
Yes,
you can vote for just one if you want and abstain for the 2 others.
Yes, I understand. Okay.
Okay. Well, I would actually have a different answer because this is an indicative vote of preference. And if everybody reduces to 1 vote, then we haven't actually achieved in the poll an indication of preference. I prefer if everybody was required to use their 3 votes.
Indeed, but if you think that there's only 1 candidate that's a good one, you're free to express that view. It could happen, because then in the next vote you will abstain also probably, and the election could fail. Imagine that we all think that there's no good candidate. We simply abstain in all the rounds, and we start to call for nominations again.
It could happen, but remember that the point of the poll over the weekend is to indicate preferences.
Oh, no, I would not encourage abstaining, but you have the right, I'm afraid.
Okay, well then, that's a fair statement. I think we should encourage everybody to use all 3 votes in order to indicate their preferences, but they have the right if they consider that there are less than 3 candidates that they could possibly vote for, they have the right not to vote all 3 votes.
Okay, thanks. The second question is, are all 3 votes equal in weight?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Carefully weighed and balanced.
Okay, and then the last question, I think we've all covered this, I'm just, so that the preliminary round doesn't actually involve elimination of anybody.
That's correct. No elimination at all.
Fair. When is the closing of the preliminary round?
I brought that up earlier. I would like to suggest that we close by...
midnight Sunday?
I would think midnight, well, sometime on Sunday, because it would be very desirable to have the outcome of the poll sooner rather than later, so we had time to reflect on it. The worst possible thing is we get the outcome of the poll 2 seconds before we get into the voting rounds, and then the virtue of the poll is overtaken by the fact that we haven't had time to consider it.
Yeah, perhaps we should leave that to Elizabeth to let us know what kind of time frame she needs.
I would like to remind you that we accepted, probably not knowing until the last item, but we accepted that the voting time starts on Saturday, 6 p.m. Central European Time. If I believe that we need to respect this rule. So if we start Saturday 6 p.m. Central European Time, if you consider that 24 hours is enough, you will have results on Sunday 6 p.m. Central European Time.
That would be brilliant if you could do that. If everybody could vote within 24 hours of 6 p.m. Central European Time on Saturday.
However, it obliges you to work on the weekend.
Well, just 3 X's in a ballot, yeah?
Okay. I agree.
I know, but you never know how much effort this costs us, you know?
Yeah.
Emotional, especially. Okay, Jonathan, sorry about that. Let's come back to your cooperation proposal on meeting procedures.
Yes, coming out of the in-person NAMES Council meeting in Santiago, we've been thinking that maybe some way that we can be helpful to try to just come up with some suggestions and with reasons behind it or even alternatives, at least starting from the core idea of how to best have NAMES Council meetings unfold in person. So what I've done is charter a group of people here, including some students fresh in my Internet and Society class that began this fall, two of whom are standard law students, two of whom are advanced law students in the International Masters of Laws program, to see how they might be able to start gathering some good data. And I would expect that that data would come both from interviews with you all, and I'm hoping that should this seem to make sense, you'd be able to make yourselves available either by telephone or by email to address some questions they have about how you're feeling about the process and what you think is going to come out of it. And then the idea would be that they would take that kind of information along with kind of a horizontal analysis of what other boards in similar, or at least as similar as possible, situations do in order to go through the phases of soliciting what their business is going to be, setting an agenda, how to work through the agenda, how to have some amount of discussion on each item without a particular amount of discussion derailing the rest of the agenda, coming to closure, knowing when there's consensus, et cetera, et cetera. So again, the idea would be to generate a report, and maybe you all can tell me what deadlines would be most helpful by which to have some text over to you so that you can consider it and reject it if you like, or adopt it if you like, or, you know, adapt it to whatever preferences you may have.
In an ideal world, about 2 weeks before the Santiago meeting, I think.
Well, presuming we can't travel in time, looking towards the LA meeting. And then the other thing is, given that we'll have, you know, people of the likes of Ben Edelman there and around, we might be able to feed into how a generic in-person secretariat might work, such that, you know, resolutions can be printed out in advance. As people are making particular proposals, that gets fed on to the big screen and, again, gets generated on paper so people can mark it up. Ways to actually have, again, the in-person component unfold very well. And if it turns out that we make some progress there, we might then turn to either teleconferences or email or just other ways that we can help suggest procedures that will keep things rolling along, keep everyone's voice able to be in the mix, and then move on to the next item of business.
Very good. Very good. That sounds excellent to me. Comments?
Well, we have a procedure for the procedures.
Yes. Are you asking what should be the procedure to come up with the procedures? Or
No. I'm saying that now we seem to have a procedure to come up with some procedures.
Yeah.
And so I have no objection. Quite the contrary.
That sounds great. And then perhaps the email that you'll then soon get, and we'll go off of the emails that are on the dnso.org site to do the initial round of contact to see how to interview each of you. To whatever extent you can indicate how much you'd like to be involved, even in this process, would be helpful. Those who just want to be able to give their opinions and then see what comes out the other side, and those who would appreciate being consulted that much more as different alternatives are considered, would be helpful to them.
Well, that should be one of the first questions then in the email to us.
Yep. Great.
Very good.
So we'll get to work and see what we can produce with ample time before the LA meeting to actually be able to implement whatever comes out of it.
That sounds really good. Anybody, let me just go through everybody. Patricio, do you want to comment?
He left and gave the proxy to you.
Oh, he did. That's right. I can't cope with this. Teresa, are you still here?
Yes, I am. I need to jump off in about 10 minutes. But I do have one suggestion. I think it's great to try to get something sort of in place that we can try for LA. I'd like to hear what people think about maybe asking Jonathan to help with the LA meeting if it ends up with something like Santiago, that we basically can get guidance if we need it at that point. I think for anything to occur that in any way resembles what occurred in Santiago would be a really, really bad idea.
That's Teresa, that's Amadeus. Anything that helps, for instance, me from not repeating the Santiago experience would be great, yeah, from a personal point of view. you are suggesting that we appoint someone from outside the names council to chair the meetings, my answer has to be no. And I don't think this is compatible with the bylaws. By the way, it's not compatible with my view of the names council.
No, I wasn't suggesting that somebody from outside chairs at all, but that perhaps before the meeting begins, we decide whether, if we end up in a situation that in any way resembles Santiago, we ask somebody from the outside to come in and help guide the meeting. This is a situation I'd really rather not have occur, but I would like a backup plan.
Jonathan, could you give that some consideration?
Yeah, why don't we take that under advisement, and then part of what we may ultimately recommend then could include a prospect for a backup plan or a structure that would just prevent anything from devolving into complete.
Yeah, you bring the knives for the ANC members, right?
Cattle prods.
Or a fire hose, I mean, whatever you want.
I just went through the list. Don, any comment?
No, I think that I'm very happy with it. Thank you.
Hero?
I appreciate Jonathan's proposal. That's my comment.
Good. Michael? Oh, Michael left, didn't he?
No, sorry. No comment.
Okay, I think, is YJ there, or did YJ leave?
I think YJ and Raul both left.
I think they did. Kathy?
That leaves me. It sounds fine.
Okay. Richard?
Just a second, I think Teresa has a very good idea. And it's something, I think if you look at the way the ICANN board meets, they will often defer on, not on ideas, but on a point of procedure to say, in this instance, what do we do? So if we could refer to somebody to say, okay, just to clarify, what is the process for this procedure?
Very good. Victoria?
I'm okay with it.
Caroline?
I'm okay, and I would second Richard.
Ted?
I'm fine with it. Thank you very much, Jonathan, for trying to help us out. And I would also support Richard's suggestion. I note that the ICANN board relies a lot on their staff in their meetings, and you could be considered an adjunct in that sense of our staff.
Thanks,
John.
We're going to have to get
those people. You have to go along with that characterization if you don't want to.
And perhaps, Jonathan, perhaps you and I can have a conversation offline.
Yes, that'd be fine. Remind us, Jonathan, what is the... In what way have we engaged you financially to do this work?
I'm considering this as a pro bono effort. I don't think you're on the hook for anything as far as expenses, et cetera. This is an educational experience for the students we're roping in. It's part of the research we're doing. I don't see this is completely apart from any of the webcasting stuff.
So we are paid by your students, you mean? Great.
We're the ones that are learning here. Johnson, thank you very much. That's excellent. Okay, talk to you again. Now, lastly on our agenda, item 6 is the DNSO business plan and budget. I'd like to have a very quick discussion about this because we're running towards the end of time. And if I may lead off by saying I do believe I circulated an email. Did people get it?
About what, sorry?
About the budget. I thought I circulated...
It was last week, probably, right?
Yes, it was about 10 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was sort of $100,000 for a full-time equivalent person and $100,000 for office equipment and travel and $100,000 for webcasting and other bits and pieces, and it was sort of $300,000, or maybe I said euros, in which case it's $330,000 or something like that.
When you say travel, you mean that Names Council members' travel should be paid by the Names Council, let's say the DNSO budget, instead of the individual companies or associations?
No, the persons.
Okay.
The person who's acting as the secretariat
okay.
will have to travel and presumably will want to get expenses for traveling. Just to put an order of magnitude on things, full-time equivalent is about 100,000, including travel and so on, it's about 100,000. That's not what I said. Full-time equivalent is about 100,000. Travel expenses and so on is about 100,000. And webcasting and other expenses. It was just a very rough and ready calculation. just to indicate that I don't think it's a few thousand dollars. I think it's a, you know, it's a few hundred thousand dollars that we're talking about.
Dennis, this is Richard. I hate to ask this question, but if we hire someone, for example, say in Europe, do we have to have some sort of incorporation or actually and follow all the labor laws in that area? Would we be able to do that in our current organization? I don't think we could.
No, what you can do is you can place a contract with an organization to provide you this. So you could, for instance, many times in the past, my university has accepted a contract to do something for a for an informal organization.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Teresa. Can I just raise a question?
Sure.
And I don't know if this will go over. I just have one thought. The ICANN website and everything is obviously has bodies operating it. To what extent would the DNSO want to consider approaching ICANN to see whether one can share in the facilities or whatever? And this is obviously something that would have to be raised with them directly. Or do we want to try to have a separate structure entirely? I'm just looking at this from an efficiency and cost issue.
Well, and one thing to keep in mind, if I can jump in, is that the DNSO is not a separate legal entity, a separately incorporated legal entity. Any person that you would all want to hire would have to be integrated through the ICANN, the existing ICANN corporate structure, which means that the board would have to sign off on it. So presumably, if the DNSO made a request, we could integrate that person very directly into the existing structure, existing task allocation, and otherwise, I suppose some sort of consultant relationship could be used, as Dennis suggested.
Yeah, I mean, what Richard had raised about the legalities. I mean, it does raise some issues for the Names Council, first of all, about the responsibility of hiring somebody, overseeing that, and any obligations it has towards that, whether it's a consultant or not. And the other factor I'm just looking at is if cost and efficiency.
Right. I think whatever person would get would be hired would have to report to Mike Roberts or his successor directly. And I don't think that there's an option to have somebody outside the ICANN structure.
Unless we, that's Andrew, isn't it? Unless we place a contract with a third party.
I'm not even sure. I don't see how ICANN could pay somebody that the staff of ICANN didn't have authority over.
Okay.
You know, just the DNSO is not a separate legal entity. It's essentially an advisory council to ICANN, and so.
But it is outsourcing forbidden in the California corporate law?
No, it's not forbidden. I just think that formally, even if that person was doing tasks on behalf of the Names Council with 100% of her time, formally the person is going to have to be paid through the ICANN budgeting structure.
Indeed.
And so forth. So I just mean to keep that in mind, that there are some angles to this that I certainly haven't thought through.
Equally formally, as a point I'm keeping up, it's not directly relevant here. So, but when we make spending decisions, we're making it on behalf of ICANN, of which we're a part. And, even if we're supposed to have a separate budget, when we commit to make spending, if we don't have the money, we're actually putting ICANN on the hook for the money. It's all part of the formal structure that we're talking about. But let's leave that aside for the moment. In fact, let's leave aside the whole question of the amounts and how we raise it and how we do it and so on, and come back to the more basic question. What do we need to make the Names Council and the DNSO work? At the moment, we have, Elizabeth, 199% of you?
Approximately.
Yeah. Plus all the resources that are there, and it's clear that we need that and more. So it's clear to me that we need at least one full-time equivalent person, if not two, in order to support us and to support the DNSO and the General Assembly. And that's the first question. Is that a true statement?
Yes. Let's try with one.
Okay. Any other comment? Does anybody disagree that we need at least one person?
The question is, we need equivalent. It could be perhaps Elizabeth half time and somebody else half time.
Sure.
Yeah? We need the equivalent of one person at least.
Yes.
Michael, I would like to come back to what I said earlier. If we could try to combine the task of serving as a secretary for the Nantes Council with the secretariat for some of the constituencies, I would absolutely agree. If we finally end up with having 10 secretariats, 9 secretariats for every constituency and the 10th one for the Nantes Council, I think I could not sell that to my constituency that we will end up with needing $1 billion just for secretariats.
Dennis, this is Richard.
Yes, Richard.
It seems to me that what the secretariat needs to do and what the hardest part is related to arranging meetings, meeting times, webcasting, infrastructure services such as
elections.
Don't forget the mini thing.
And I think that those are all pretty much for each supporting organization and for each constituency we have to deal with those. And I don't think it would be such a bad thing to have ICANN charge us for fees for doing that. And as long as we felt comfortable that they were doing this in a fair and rational way, I think it'd be much more efficient.
Right. But it still is a non-negligible amount of effort.
Certainly it is. And we may want to bring this up with the ICANN board and suggest that the ICANN secretariat be able to support the other, the DNSO and the other supporting organizations.
Yeah, but remember that we are supposed to fund ourselves all our, let's say, expenses, not in a technical point of view, but you know, from a practical point of view. That is, if we are requiring increased support from ICANN, we should provide them with increased funding as well. Perhaps it's more efficient. Perhaps pooling is more efficient, but that not changes the need to pay for that support.
Yes, I agree. We definitely need to pay for that. I don't think there's any way to get away from that.
Well, let me just say from the CCTLD constituency point of view, our feeling is that we need a full-time equivalent for the constituency secretariat and support. You know, this. I mean, the whole point of that is that comment is that the structures that we have, particularly the international structures, take a lot of effort to make work in any sense at all and are going to be very expensive.
This is Teresa, and I need to get off in about 3 minutes. I don't think there's a question that there's a lot of cost involved. We know that from the meeting and the webcasting and whatnot, everything. I just think that we need to do it in the most cost-effective, efficient manner. And, you know, if 300,000 can be dropped down to 200, great. I mean, right now with the business constituency, we have the same difficulty. We have a secretariat. And whether the business constituency is going to want to give up that secretariat or not, I have no idea. But I also think it's going to be difficult to get funds for a business secretariat and a DNSO secretariat and, you know, additional things. So what I suggest is actually that by email, perhaps we identify some basic criteria. People can go back to constituencies and say, look, you know, if you have your own secretariat, how do you want to handle this DNSO thing, and explore the alternative of having it housed under ICANN.
Right.
To continue this dialogue online.
Yeah, I would like if people would do that, and rather than worry about the how we're going to fund it and the how we're going to organize it, the what we need to get the job done, I think, is the first question.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, we're not going to get much further on this since we have about 2 seconds left in the conference call, but I think we have to make that our highest priority item for our... Are we going to have another telephone conference, or are we just going to meet in probably a telephone conference after the vote, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. This is Andrew.
Yes, Andrew.
I want to just interject one item that I don't know if it made it onto your agenda or not, but I need to know...
Dave Towson?
Yeah, I need to know whether to cancel the webcasting for the DNSO meeting is what it sort of boils down to. And
we considered our position carefully, and we decided we have no money, but we have to do the webcasting, and we've all firmly resolved not to sin anymore. I mean, firmly resolved to, that's my Catholic upbringing, to raise some money so so that we would be able to pay you.
We're organizing the lottery.
I'm willing to go ahead, but I'm not sure that the rest of the ICANN staff is going to go with me on that. We can take this up offline, but the problem that I have is that we had a similar arrangement prior to Santiago, and Mike keeps tapping his thumb on my shoulder and asking me where the money for that is going to come from.
Yeah, Andrew, I mean, let's be perfectly straightforward. We want to do it. We want to raise the money, but we cannot at this point. We have no money at this stage as the Names Council, and none of us sitting around this table can make any firm commitments that our constituencies are going to agree to raising any money at this point. I mean, we are firmly resolved that we will attempt to, that we will probably succeed. We are happy to commit the money on that basis. I mean, in other words, we're being responsible, but we just don't have the money.
Right. Understood. I'll convey that back.
Andrew, what were the costs from Santiago? Was it 4,000 or?
Yeah, approximately 4,000.
Okay, so we're looking to go to the
That $4,000 just direct for webcasting. The total cost, including an equivalent share of the translation services, gets you pretty close to 10.
Okay.
We're not planning on providing any translation services in LA.
Oh. As you know from my interchange with Mike that I'm really very concerned about formal fiscal responsibility.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's my job to keep the pressure on you all to keep this at the top of the agenda.
We did consider it in a rather formal way, and the outcome is as I've described.
Okay, understood.
All right. Do I properly represent everybody's views?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Andrew, thank you very much. Listen, folks, we've run out of time. We got a fair deal done. Our next telephone conference is same time next Monday, mm-hmm. by which time we will have reviewed the outcome of the preliminary poll. We probably will have chatted to one another. And in the meantime, Elizabeth and I will have done some sort of rehearsal to try and get this down to a really quite efficient mechanism and trying to get it down to, say, 10 or 15 minutes per round. At least that would be my goal. I don't know if we can do that.
Yeah, and just remember, Elizabeth sent a test ballot. Only 9 people answered. Try to play with the game because, you know, you will learn by trying. Even if it sounds stupid, then Elizabeth will learn by trying, and we will get better elections.
Thank you, Amadeo. Listen, everybody, any quick comments to wrap up?
Yes, Elizabeth, last comment.
Please.
I just see a Kathleen Clayman message arriving with the business phone. I will put 19 phone numbers together as of today with current representative to Names Council, and I will send it to everybody. Do you accept it?
Yes, please.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Listen, everybody, thanks again. Pleasure to try and keep you all together. Good morning and good night.
Thanks for
coming.
Thank you.